talk about the family structure. And as you turn there, I want to give a quick recap on some things that we have covered thus far. We've talked about communication. Communication is what? Words and deeds. And if we have only one side of that, we have a failure to communicate and a breakdown in the relationship. Our God in heaven told us that He loved us. Then He proved it by giving His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. God demonstrated, God commendeth His love. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God just didn't say it. He put the deed behind it. And so that is what true communication is. You think about what gravity and what travail and heartache and pain that the Lord Jesus Christ went through in order for our relationship to be possibly reestablished with God the Father. And I say possibly because it has been established if we put trust Christ as our Savior. It's been paid for in full by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The condition now is up to us to have Him as our Savior. And if that's the case, you have a relationship with the Father. And we have noted that relationships in life are going to bring you either the joy or pain in life. And relationships are oftentimes that vehicle or the avenue where we experience most of the joy or pain, unfortunately, in life. So understanding relationships and the roles that we play in those relationships are incredibly important if we're to get all the joy and happiness out of it that God would have for us to do so, right? Because He's trying to teach us something through the cross about relationships, our positions. And we've noted that Jesus Christ is co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal, just as holy as God the Father. Amen? But in order for the plan of salvation to work, see, Jesus is equal as far as who He is to God the Father. He's just as holy, amen, and He's just as eternal. But in order for that plan of salvation to work, somebody had to submit themselves in order for it to function. In other words, Jesus had to get in the right position in order to carry out God's plan of salvation. And we noted how important it was when we looked at Zacchaeus, when Jesus was passing through Jericho, didn't have any intentions of stopping, but because of Zacchaeus' act of faith, his act of humility, he positioned himself in a tree and stopped Jesus literally in his tracks and told him, "Zacchaeus, come down to that tree, for today I must." That's a compelling word when we do something that gets God's attention to the point that He says, "I must come to your house and bless you now." That's a pretty compelling thing. And that's the reason why I love that passage of Scripture so much. And we've looked at it in several different times here. And as we progress through this understanding of position, we looked at last week how God works through His assigned representatives to work through and bless. And we noted that God does not work and bless until His fullness, until everything is in order. Amen. And we use the days of creation to put that into context. Are you with me? And now we're going to look at something today. I told you last week we were going to look at the man's position. And remember, Zacchaeus was in his position. Because he was in his position, he was told by Jesus, "Now I'm coming to your house and I'm going to bless your house." And that's what we want, amen? We want to glorify God in our house, right? And so we understand this. Now, what is the man's role? Now, we're going to look at the man's role today. What is the man's role in this thing? And I'm going to share some things with you I hope will be a blessing to you, fellas, to all of us. In John chapter 3 and verse number 16, I'm pretty sure many of us could quote this by heart, right? But I want to look at a word here. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not," what? "Perish, but have everlasting life." You see, God doesn't want to send people to hell. People send themselves there. The way to heaven has been paved. It's been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. And since God has paid such, given such a sacrifice so that we might have that relationship reconciled, because Jesus is our reconciler, reconciliator, we can understand something about the heart of God, because we can look at this word loved here. For God so what? Loved. And this is agape love. And men, when we stand in that position as the Lord Jesus Christ, we looked at the writings of Paul in the book of Ephesians where he said, husbands, love your wives as who? Christ. Also love the church. And what did he do for it? Gave. Now see, when you start looking at your position as a husband from that position, you know, you get past the beauty and the attraction that you saw that perhaps lured you to your spouse, and realize that now, you know, she's not the perfect angel that you, the perfect angel that you thought that she was, okay? You found out she does need toothpaste in the morning like the rest of human beings on earth, amen? You can laugh. You get what I'm saying. You see, God has to hold himself in a position of agape, because how many realize that there's some people out there that don't like God? There's some people out there that don't like Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, there's some people out there that absolutely hate God, and they hate the thought of God, and they hate the even worse, the thought of his Son. Some folks believe in God, but they won't believe in the Son. Jesus said, if you believe in the God, you'll believe also in me. You see, if you don't believe in one, you don't really believe in the other. So how does God keep himself in a position of agape when there's so many people who don't like him or his Son, or what his sacrifice is by giving his only Son? And how can we relate to that as men in our homes and understanding our position? Now, we talked about agape is the spirit that the man is to portray in the home. And the wife is to portray the spirit of reverence or submission, okay? But let's look at this a little bit of agape. This is more of a teaching time today, not necessarily preaching. If our homes are going to have operational integrity, now you may want to write that term down, because operational integrity, if you're in a military or business or anything, you have to have operational integrity. If not, everything breaks down. And the reason why we're seeing our homes break down, people don't know their roles that they're to play in the homes. And when we understand, if our homes are going to have integrity, the people in those positions, in those homes, have to in fact be in the position that God prescribed them to be, because God will not touch anything unless he's got control over it. Amen. You can have God as your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior, but if he is not the Lord of that place and having things in order, then he is not going to put his fullest blessing on it. Because we've looked last week, God blesses things that have been put in authoritative order. Okay? And fellas, God has put us as his representatives in the home. And we're going to look at a little bit of what agape is before we get into this and peel this back. Agape, it simply means that nothing one can do to you is going to stop you from seeking their higher good. Now what that means is it doesn't matter what she said or what she did, you're going to continue to seek her highest good and not get bitter, because Paul said, love your husband, loves your wives, and be not bitter, amen, against them. Now you see in what being manhood is all about from a biblical standpoint. You see, it's seeking your wife's still her highest good, no matter what she said or no matter what she did. This may come through injury. This may come through insult. But if you're going to be and have the heart of God in your home as his representative in your home, we must remain in the position of agape in our homes, because God is going to only work through his representatives in his home and in the church. Now, I'm here to tell you, being a pastor, you're always going to be getting shot at. And I've learned something. Either you're going to love people, you're going to find out if you're going to love them, you're going to love them because God loves them, not because you love them, because God loves them. You see, I'm married in my home. I'm married to a Christian lady, and you see, God loves her. Amen. And sometimes she may frustrate me. She may get me upset more me than her, though. You know, she's almost perfect. You see? I'm trying to, come on, give me some, help me. You understand what I'm saying? If God is going to work in my home and I'm the representative in that home, then somebody's going to have the heart of God. And I see in John 3:16 where God had agape love in His heart for sinners. And so that puts me in a high role of position, of authority to make sure that this is carried out in my home. And no, it doesn't, at a point, and they're understanding there may be some things that happen in a marriage that cannot be reconciled, but my spirit, as I stand and face these things, is in a spirit of agape love towards people, and specifically toward my wife. Now understand, it involves, it's not an emotional thing like Hollywood paints out. It's not a romantic song that helps you to do this. It is nothing that can come about in a marriage except for it be done in and through and by the Holy Ghost that God has given us that indwells inside of us. Because I'm going to tell you something. As you've been married long enough, you realize you're married to as sweet as they are, men, you're married to a sinner. Amen? And you're going to need agape love to stand in the gap and represent God in that house, because He only works through His representatives. He's not going to give. He didn't tell the woman to give the house agape love. He told that to the man. He told her to submit in reverence. He tells us to agape, which has nothing to do with the emotions and the tickling of carnal feeling. It has everything to do with the spirit where you stand when you're facing the wrong and the insult and the fears that she may have brought to you, your table. It has nothing to do with the emotions, but it has something to do with your heart and your will. You see, that's why holy matrimony is just that, it's holy. You're standing before God and say, God, I'm going to love her like You do. You see, I'm going to get past some of the things she said, some of the things she's done, and I'm going to overlook the fact that the tea wasn't as sweet as it needed to be, which is a cardinal sin. Amen. You know, I'm going to look past that stuff. And I'm thankful that's about as bad it gets at my house. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, if that's all I got to fuss about, that's not much. Amen. You know. But the fact, if God's going to work through that house, He's going to have a representative that understands agape love. He didn't tell the woman that, fellas. And if we're going to stand in this position of agape love, we've got to know the spirit behind the thing. Agape love is a type of love that helps keep the right spirit in relationships. If God didn't agape me, He'd throw me in the trash. You understand? I'm glad that He agape, unconditional, loves me. He would just throw me to the side. He said, boy, I'm tired of dealing with you, but I'm glad He agape loves me. And how do you maintain this agape love? A man may feel certain things about his family, and how do you maintain this agape love? And I'm going to share a little secret with you. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 13 real quick with me and read this. I was sharing with the Sunday school class this morning that the only job that requires for a man to have his own house in order is that of a pastor. You ever thought about that? Oprah can tell everybody in the world what to do, but she's not married. Her kids or whatever, I don't even know if she has any. But Dr. Phil's kids can go off on the tangent and, you know, commit any crime. And he can still keep his TV show. He can still keep his job. But a pastor, you know, he has to have his family in order, amen? And so if there's somebody that's got to understand position and what God blesses and how a family ought to operate, it's got to be the pastor. This is the only job that I know of that you got to have that as a qualifier before you can get up and speak the Word of God. The president of the United States doesn't even have to have his family in order to be president of a great nation. But when a man stands up and mounts the pulpit, his family has got to be in order. Not perfect, mind you, but in order. So when people in that home has got to understand position and understand what role they have in that position, because God has understood something, that the cornerstone of society is that of the family. And you can be educated to the hilt, but if you don't understand position and how God blesses and through His representatives, it does, your education is not going to keep your home blessed and have the right spirit in it that God wants it to have. Matter of fact, they're probably going to go the right opposite direction. And so for that very reason, in Hebrews chapter number 13, God says something here to the church crowd. He says in Hebrews 13 verse 17, He says this, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, so they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with what? Joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable." And just so what I'm telling you is, how does a pastor realize and come to an understanding how his home ought to be? Because he understands how he ought to pastor the church. You see, God puts people in position. And I'm going to show you, gentlemen, from the Word of God, how to stand in position, but stand in the right spirit. Can I do that this morning? From the Word of God. Because if there's anybody who needs to understand it, it's the pastor. Because he's got to have his home in order to be able to stand up here. That's what God said. That's not what man, that's God said. I want his home in order. Not perfect, but in order. Amen. And so when we have that understanding, and he has that understanding, that it is a matter of agape love, and how do you maintain that spirit of agape love in your home? Well, it's very simple. You just look at how Christ did things. Okay? Let's go to Matthew. While we're here, let's go to 1 Timothy 3, while we're back here in this part of the Bible. 1 Timothy 3, verse number 4. Let's just read this. Y'all with me so far? All right. Here's the qualifications of a pastor. Okay, we'll read verse 1. "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop," and that bishop has a definition, and it helps him understand the role he plays in the church. Okay, it also helps him to understand the role he plays in his house. "Desireth the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be" what? Didn't say perfect, blameless. "The husband of" what? Why is that? He needs to know about relationships. He needs to understand the ingredients of what makes a good relationship. Husband of what? One wife. Okay? "Vigilant, sober, and" of what? He needs to know how to handle problems in the right attitude and spirit. Good behavior. You got that? Okay? Agape. "Given to hospitality," means he likes to go to Cracker Barrel. Amen, love that. You know, "apt to teach" is what I'm trying to do this morning, not so much preaching. Verse 3, "not to given to wine." In other words, drunk. How's he going to know God's leading when he's drunk? "Not given to much wine." Got that? "Not a striker." In other words, he doesn't go around grabbing folks in his home nor in the church. "Listen, I'm grabbing by the car. Listen, we're going to do this. You understand? You know what I'm on." That's what it means right there. That's what it means. Not a striker. Okay, "not greedy," a filthy lucre, but what? Patient, not a what? Now that defines right there a lot of Christian homes. We're going to brawl. You want to brawl? You want to put the gloves on? I've seen women fight like men, you know, in law enforcement days. My wife throws a pretty good right too. No, I'm just kidding. I got to loosen y'all up a little bit. You see this? Verse 4, "one that" what? "Ruleth," what's this word? No, back it up. "One that" what? "His house," own house, what? "Well." Having his" what? "Children in position," right? In subjection, right? With all what? Gravity. Now, the verse we just read, the Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you." and following their example, right? Paul, Peter talked about following their example. Why did God do that? You see, God works and illustrates how He wants things done through His representatives. And gentlemen, God wants us to represent God in our house in the spirit of agape. How do you rule in the house? Same way you rule in a church. It's a matter of attitude. How many of you understand that Jesus Christ bought the church with His own blood? You see, a lot of times, gentlemen, please don't miss this. Can I have your attention, fellas? When you take the attitude, those are my bills. This is my house. That is my car. That's my wife. That's my children. Who's responsible for all that stuff? You are. But when you take that same concept, flip it around, and look at this way. God, You work through me for Your wife, Your children. You pay those bills. You see, when you do that, then your finances are going to be in order too. Amen. You're not going to foolishly spend money. I'm trying to tell you something. The one thing I've had to learn the hard way, and I learned this pastor, you cannot put your heart into the ministry because then it becomes mine. What you have to do is put your heart in Christ and realize it's His.
Amen.
Same thing in the home, gentlemen. That is not your house. God has given it to you. You're just a steward of it. You see, if you die tomorrow and your wife, young enough perhaps, you know, she may be somebody else's wife in 6 years or 6 minutes. You know, who knows? You know, amen. That's my wife. And if they're young enough, and if the kid's young enough, somebody's going to be calling them stepdad or somebody's going to be playing that role. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're only stewards of what has been assigned to us. It is not ours. Amen. I often say, pastor your home like the pastor pastors the church. Let me tell you something about dictatorships. The same in the home, same in the church. You can write this down. I promise you it's true. All dictatorships come to an end. All. Number two, they all end nasty. Number three, it's just a matter of how long will it exist before it comes to an end. And any man goes around in his home strutting like a peacock is not going to have a home for long. Anybody say amen there?
No.
Where does the man learn it? Y'all learn from a pastor. Pastor, I don't know that. But that does not negate the fact that man has a role to play of an area of authority and responsibility. It's a matter of how you understand biblical authority. I'm going to show that to you. Can I do that?
Now let's look at what this Matthew said, Matthew 8 and verse 9. Okay? Well, that's my bills. That's my children. That's my. And it's hard to get you to keep this intact because in order in your mind because you love people in your house, don't you? It's hard not to say, hey, those are my children.
But see, you know what it does? It puts us in a position of faith to be able to say, Lord, those are your kids. So when you see them doing something really crazy that's about to destroy their life, you can stand in a position of agape. Listen to me. You can stand in a position of agape, the right spirit, and address the problem where it's not going to push them away. Amen. Do you know how many people wouldn't come to church unless a pastor would understand how to deal with problems and how to deal with people who have misunderstandings? You know what he has to understand? Something about the spirit of agape.
I'm still going to love you. I might not agree with you. We're not going to go in that direction. But the fact is, I'm still going to be in a position to love you. You see, agape is not being passive. It's simply standing in your position that you believe is biblically correct and from the Word of God. But it does not mean that you're taking the roof off for crying out loud. Amen. You see, and a lot of times, fellas, we get in this, you know, hey, this is my house. You don't like it, hit the door. You want your space, kid? Fine. There's the door. There's room for 7 billion people out there. Help yourself. Now, at some point, they may need to be told and explained that in a certain way. But the fact of the matter is, the old adage is, you attract a lot more flies with honey than you do vinegar. And here's the thing. If you don't stand in that position of agape, you're tearing down that relationship every time. And here's what you're doing. You're losing the influence and impact that person's life for God. I don't want anybody else impacting my family for God. That's my role. Amen. How many of you follow what I'm saying here? So what's my position? My position is the spirit of agape. And understanding my role as a husband is the same as understanding my role as a pastor. Matthew 8, we'll start at verse 5. And when Jesus would enter into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. This man understood authority. You see, he was in a position to say, go and come. But look at his attitude. How many of your dads understand? You're in a position to say, go and come. Amen. You ain't scared to say amen, are you? Some of you just, I'm smart, Pastor. Been here for a while. Learned. Amen. But look at his attitude. Look at his mindset on authority. Look at what he says in verse number 9. For I am a man, what? In authority? No, what did it say? Under. You see, there is no authority other than God. Amen. And you got to remember, God works things in order.
That's right.
You with me? He works through his representatives that have been placed in order. So that all authority comes from God. It just so happens to be picked to be one that's in authority at my house. And you've been picked, fellow, as the one in authority at your house. You see, if we're not in charge, we're under charge. Yeah. Amen. There's a role to play. This man that said, I'm in charge, you know, everybody knows what I say, they jump when I jump, and say jump when I say jump, this kind of thing. If you don't do what I tell them, I'll take your head off. No, he says, look, I'm in a position under responsibility. And fellas, that's what we are. We have a responsibility for God to stand in our position and teach our families the thing of God and the spirit of agape. We're under authority, not in authority. Amen. You think a pastor ought to know that? It's an understanding of how God arranges things. You still with me? All right. I want to give you something here. We read it. Excuse me. Hebrews 13. Let's go back there real quick. I'll wind this thing up. And we'll use that as a launching pad for next week. Hebrews 13, verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your what? And that's it. That's all a pastor has authority for. To care for your souls. He doesn't tell you how to run your house. He doesn't tell you what car to drive. Any of that stuff. And they must give an account that they must do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Imagine in a home where every time the man stands up and says, honey, this is what the Bible says, and I just believe we need to do this for the Lord. And then what comes back across the table says, well, that's going to mess up what I got going on and mess up my tea party and have to give this up and everything. So, no, everything's fine. We're just going to stay as it is. You know what the man's going to ultimately do? He's going to ultimately say, you know what? Just forget it. This ain't nothing but a headache. You see, it is teamwork that makes the dream work. If you got a dream for your family, everybody has to be in position. You see, if not, God says this. He says that they may do it with joy. In other words, don't make being a husband, ladies, a grievous thing. Don't make him being the leader in that home that God has assigned him to lead be a grievous thing where he's got to, you know, have a 5-hour debate on why we need to do this for God. Because sooner or later he's going to say, you know what, it's just not worth the hassle. Do you understand how important it is to have everything in its proper position? Because what that is going to evoke is something that I want to read for you back here in 1 Samuel. That, oh, it's just terrible. We looked in Sunday school this morning how God looked for someone to stand in the gap, a representative. But there was none, no one to be found. And what we see here in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, what that kind of attitude provokes in the home is an attitude of passivity. In other words, it's no leadership at all. You're just there existing. How many of you know a home like that? It's just no leadership at all. It's just existing. There are churches like that. You see, here, literally, in the Old Testament, this really happened. Verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that beareth, heareth it shall, what? Tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning what? Now, Eli was a priest. Now, guess what? Eli needed to have his house in order. Amen. Okay? This is where the New Testament gets this. All I have spoken concerning his house. Didn't say his occupation. Talking about his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his, what? House forever. For the iniquity which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile. And he restrained them, what? Not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, and the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged, and with sacrifice nor offering. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more so if thou hide anything from me, all that the things that he has said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do that he seemeth him good. And what happened was, God allowed for Eli to have an accident. He fell and broke his neck. You ever wonder why those bizarre accidents happen to people? Well, my, what happened there? And then his two sons died. So, gentlemen, don't think for a moment that we won't be held accountable for our positions in our house. Because we certainly will. Is that the Word of God? You don't need a Hebrew lexicon to figure that out. That one out. Amen. He didn't exercise the right position of authority in his house. He knew things were not right. He knew things were wrong. And he just kind of went along to go along so everybody's happy. Happy, happy, happy. Who said that? Listen, I appreciate everything those folks do. Make sure it's biblical. Just saying. Fellas, where are we at with this thing of understanding our spirit? You see, when you understand that's God's, you don't need to blow your top. You don't need to put your fist down like this. My house now. Didn't I tell you? Because what does James say? The wrath of man worketh not the what? The righteousness of God. And if we stand in our position, realizing, listen, Lord, that, this is your place. This is your house. That's your wife. Understand that, metaphorically speaking. This is your family. That's your children. I surrendered it to all. There's your bills. I don't know why she went on a credit card spree. My, have mercy. You know, sometimes the men do that. Amen, right? Amen. It's quiet in this sanctified Baptist church. I hope the Word of God is helping this morning. I hope it's helping this morning. There's nothing that's going to bring us greater joy than understanding our assigned position in relationships and standing in those positions in the right spirit. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's no amount of fussing and kicking and whatever is going to change a person's heart. Only God can do that. And as long as we're in there duking it out or fussing and making our point, it's not going to happen. Fellas, when we stand in the spirit of agape, and if you've done what you're supposed to do and they don't want to listen, my Bible tells me God can handle things. Amen. Because God wants that house in order. Our families, our nation is crumbling. God wants His people's house in order. And sometimes you can see this isn't right, and you may get your blood pressure up. You just got to step back and say, in the spirit of agape, Lord, you know, honey, this isn't right. The Bible says it. And you state it once or twice, you just got to let it go. Because God handles things in the home. Amen. Kind of startling, isn't it? God's serious about this home business. Fellas, I hope this helped you today. Just to be able to stand in the spirit of agape when things aren't going as you think biblically in your home, that it should. It'll keep your blood pressure down. Amen. Now, I know you don't have that problem at your house. I'm talking about folks that go to church other places, right? Amen. Seriously. There's nothing more important than your family.
That's right.
Nothing. Fellas, what's your position and your attitude in your position today? What's it going to be going forward? How are you going to handle things? What's your behavioral response with things? Lord, help us today to be the men of God, standing in that gap, not only with conviction about what's right and what's wrong, but also in the right spirit, the right heart to imitate Christ, that Christ will not be merely imitated, but He will flow through us, that we're so far removed from my house, my money, my bills, my place, my children, my marriage, my life. But Lord, it's just about you. It's about you being glorified in that home. Lord, help us to stand in this spirit of agape love as men of God in our homes. We cannot do it in our own strength. We desire that you do a work in our hearts today, from this day forward. That our spirit, the spirit in our homes, be radically changed for your glory. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name.